Fred Film Radio.
This is Cristiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio in conversation with Kim Petalas, the director of the British Film Festival. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Cristiana.
Thank you very much for your time and for being available for Fred.
My pleasure.
Kim, I would like to start with a kind of an overarching question, because this is the 9th edition of the British Film Festival, and this edition follows a couple of very difficult years for the industry. So presenting the festival this year must be a double celebration.
Look, it really is a double celebration. I was concerned that we may not have a film festival this year because we weren't sure how the other COVID situation was going to, you know, play out. You know, I went to a lot of trouble over the last 12 months putting the whole program together. But in the back of my mind, I had my fingers crossed that we were able to, you know, present a festival on screen. And the only real change that we made is we delayed the festival by a week. We did look at the, you know, all the planning and all the, you know, when governments felt that we could open up safely. And, you know, we were very fortunate that things worked out very well for us, and the Victorian cinemas opened last Friday, which gave that you know, 1 week before the British Film Festival actually opened here. So we were fortunate in the end to have a festival on screen.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the timing in the end worked out quite well, because as you said, the reopening of Victoria was just a couple of weeks ago. So in the end was everything ended up well.
That's right. You know, as I said, we did take some risks, but, you know, thankfully it was just such a joy to see people in the cinemas in Victoria, in Melbourne last Friday night at Cinema Como. And, you know, when I introduced the film in three full auditoriums, I was just delighted to get up there and introduce the film with a full house and with people there that were just so glad to be back in the cinema and to see films the way that the filmmakers had initially intended on big screens. I think the streaming services certainly played their, you know, their part during the pandemic, but I think people were just so pleased to be able to go out to cinemas.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like regaining some forms of normality, no doubt about that. Kim, the festival's lineup includes 31 films from emerging talent and renowned filmmakers, with 20 Australian premieres. So that's quite something. So it's a very impressive lineup. Tell us about the program and the highlights for this year.
Look, when I first saw The Duke, I was incredibly excited about that film because I felt it was a real crowd pleaser. And it was the perfect film to launch the festival. We've all been through such a difficult time. And to see something, an underdog story, somebody battling against the odds and ultimately winning, I think it was an important film to showcase. And, you know, with two brilliant performances by obviously Jim Broadbent and Helen Mirren. And there's not too many films where Helen Mirren plays the second, you know, fiddle to another actor. But I think this is really Jim Broadbent's picture, and he's wonderful in the film. And the film is just doing incredibly well right across the festival, and it was very, very well received at the opening nights. The other two standout films, I'll go through them individually for me, were Last Night in Soho, which is Edgar Wright's new film. I thought it was an incredible depiction of, you know, the 1960s, swinging 60s from London. And the film really does transport you back to that period. The attention to detail is quite incredible. And I thought the film was outstanding. It's got a wonderful soundtrack and great performances throughout the film. And it was so good to see, you know, two classic British actresses, you know, featuring the film. Rita Tushingham, who played in so many wonderful films from the 1960s, And also Diana Rigg, unfortunately, was her last film role. But, you know, to see her on the screen in such a, what I think is just a wonderful film was a joy. So that was, that film, you know, really meant a lot to me. I thought it was an outstanding piece of work. The other film that I have to focus on is, you know, I've got a job with Palace Cinema, so I'm the programming director, and I've been in that role for 30 years, so I see a lot of film over the journey. But the film that absolutely stood out for me probably in the last 2 years has been Belfast, and that is just an incredible film. It's Kenneth Branagh's, I suppose it's a love letter to his hometown. It's shot in beautiful black and white, and the film is getting incredible Oscar buzz. I saw that film with a huge audience of three people, and at the end of the film, I just got up and clapped it because the film moved me. It is very sincere. It's heartwarming, and again, featuring an outstanding soundtrack by Van Morrison. And I thought that film is one of the best things I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, I've read fantastic reviews.
Yeah, absolutely loved Belfast. So I warmly recommend everybody to go out and see that picture.
I think a couple of films, if I'm not wrong, with Colin Firth.
Yes. Yeah, there's two films with Colin Firth. Yeah, there's Operation Mincemeat, and there's also Mothering Sunday. And in particular, Mothering Sunday, I thought is a really strong drama. It's a wonderful film featuring an incredible performance by a young Australian actress, Adessa Young, a very brave performance, and that is a real quality film that we have in the film festival.
And Kim, if you don't mind, I would like to go back to The Duke. The opening night film, if you don't mind, because correct me if I'm wrong, I read that, of course, the story, the film is based on a true story that happened in the 60s, but I read that the full story has emerged only recently. Is that correct?
I don't know how recent the true story came out, but it is certainly a true story. And it's an incredible true story, it's just I think that makes the film really special when you see something as far-fetched as what happens in the picture, where Goya's portrait of the Duke of Wellington is stolen from the National Gallery in London, and that was the first and only time that there's been a theft in the gallery's history. So that was incredible in itself. But the thing is that the film is just so entertaining, and as I said before, the underdog story. It's a perfect film for a to launch the festival.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Indeed. Kim, the festival this year also offer a very, very impressive retrospective of films from the 70s. Could you please tell us more about this retrospective, and how did you select the films? What criteria have you used to pick your preferred ones?
Okay, with the seven from the 70s, I mean, putting together the retrospective every year is one of my favourite joys of putting together a British film festival, because there's such a rich history of great cinema from the UK. And 1971 there's four films that are featured in the 70s retrospective that are from 1971, and this year they have their 50th anniversary. And 1971 was a year where censorship, but for a long time it stifled the film industry, probably for decades, and then by 1971 censorship was loosening its grip, and there was a newfound freedom in cinema, and there were some films that played out that were really challenging and broke boundaries at the time. And those three films are from 1971. obviously Clockwork Orange, which is just an absolute masterpiece, and this is a stunning 4K new restoration of that classic film. Sunday Bloody Sunday, which that film really broke boundaries because I think it was the first film that had two men kissing passionately in a film, and that broke boundaries back then. And then there was the go-betweens, a wonderful film from the era also, and Straw Dogs is the other film that really broke some boundaries, with its climatic themes. There was themes of very strong violence in the last half hour of the film, and that was a wonderful and brave film for its time.
Yes, it's indeed an impressive retrospective, which includes one of my favourite films, Barry Lyndon.
Barry Lyndon. I mean, that was another wonderful film that we were very, very fortunate to be able to secure for the festival, and with great stars at the time like Ryan O'Neill, who was real very hot property back then, and also Marissa Berenson, and again a beautiful looking film. So we're really fortunate to have those films in the retrospective. I did base the retrospective around Clockwork Orange and its availability because it was such a iconic film of the era that I did want to have that as the tentpole film and then work everything around A Clockwork Orange, and I was fortunate enough to be able to secure that and then, base the whole retrospective around that film.
Sure. Kim, I have one last question for you. So I know that you, 10 years ago, came up with the idea of creating a British film festival, so you are the father or the initiator of this festival. And on the welcome page of the festival website, you talk about the rise in popularity of the British Film Festival in recent years, and that it has grown to become a significant showcase of cinema in Australia. How do you explain this success? What are the reasons for its popularity?
Look, Australians have got a very strong affinity with, Britain and British cinema. I think, when it comes to, British dramas, I think we understand the characters, we feel the characters, we understand their situations. We've got a very, very close affinity. And then with British humour, when you've got a British comedy, I think Australians certainly enjoy British humour more so than from any other country in the world. So when the Brits get it right with their humour and drama, for Australian audiences, nothing can beat that. But back 10 years ago, I felt there was a real opportunity for patrons to see, the best of British cinema in a festival environment, because I did notice that, when we had, great British films that did exceptionally well across Palace cinemas, from films like, The Queen to The King's Speech and the Marigold series, and there's a whole host of wonderful British films that that our audiences really embrace, and I felt putting them together in a festival environment gave our distribution partnerships the opportunity of testing the potential of their films with a very eager paying audience, and it also gives films to an opportunity to gain very valuable word of mouth, for their forthcoming releases. And I think films like, Belfast and Falling for Figaro and Mothering Sunday, those sorts of films will get great word of mouth in the festival. And then when the distributors decide to release them in the first quarter of 2022, a lot of the campaign's already been set up for them. So it's been a win-win for both, audiences, Palace cinemas, and also our distribution partnerships with the British Film Festival. And it really has become one of the standout festivals across our circuit.
Oh, yes, indeed. And it's growing, as we can see. So it's all very exciting, Kim. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Christiane. I appreciate your time this morning.
And the British Film Festival opened on the 3rd of November, and it will be showcased on the big screen in 7 cities and 21 cinemas across Australia until the 1st of December. I have been talking to Kim Petalas, the festival director of the British Film Festival, and I'm Christiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.